It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm so happy you joined me. And we have a great guest, none other than Cynthia Hyatt. She is a psychotherapist, but she's also a minister. And that's why I wanted to have her come onto the program today so she could talk about both sides, the spiritual side, but the psychological side. And the topic today is divorce. How do you, if you've done the divorce thing already or going through the divorce thing, because you've determined that your marriage isn't reconcilable, how do you begin healing your heart from the pain of that death, that loss?
Yes, well, and that would be when we talk about having to go through the grief and loss process. And those are, there's five stages of that process. Because anytime we have a loss, we have to go through these stages. And the first stage of the grief and loss process is shock. So after I'm over the shock of, this is over, this is not, this is over. Like, wow, I'm going to not be a married person. I am not going to reconcile with this person. I am probably not going to ever see them again or want to or be willing to. Wow, now I'm maybe going into a little bit of denial. Well, maybe you don't need to have to go that far. You know, it couldn't be that bad. I'm not. I couldn't really be a completely divorced person. There's got to be some other way. And then generally circumstances will help me realize, nah, that's denial. But after I go through shock and denial, because shock is, I can't even take it in. It's just not even. I'm thinking about other things. I'm not even thinking about that because I can't even take it in. It's similar to if you unexpectedly found out that somebody that you loved had died.
Right.
You're like, no.
I just saw them yesterday. Exactly. I just spoke on the phone yesterday. Yeah.
And then you go into denial. No, they have to have it wrong. Let's go and check it out. We got to make sure. This is why we ask people to come identify bodies. That's kind of stuff. That's why we have funerals.
That's right.
Because that helps people with denial. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what happens is part of that healing process. And if you've ever lost somebody that you love, you could know even a year or two or 5 years later, if you haven't really resolved it, your brain keeps helping you and it keeps looking for that person. You go, I think I just thought that was my dad. And you're like, it can't be my dad. My father has passed away. That can't be my dad that I just saw on the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. That's not, but that's our brain. Our brain is trying to process through this major loss that it can't do all in one shot. So the grief and loss process helps us break up a big loss into chunks that we can manage. So we go from shock denial down to bargaining. And bargaining is every creative, intelligent American's favorite place to be. Okay, that's the coulda, shoulda, woulda, if only then. So we go through all the ways. It doesn't really have to be that way. It really could be like this. Well, what if we tried this? Well, we didn't really try that. Oh my, any way to have the loss. So if I'm divorcing or somebody's divorcing me and I'm stuck in bargaining, I'm going to be doing things like, let's try one more therapist. I got one more book to read. Let's go to this marriage. Let's go see the pastor. They're going to pray for us. There's a new way to pray. I know that we can heal this, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go around and around and around because we just don't want to accept this is over. So then if we're out of bargaining, because that gets kind of tiring and people get tired of hearing us, right? Then we get angry, really angry. And we're like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This doesn't have to be this way. We are good Christian people. You're just not willing to heal from this. You don't need to divorce me, right? And we get angry about everything because we don't want to accept this loss. Then angry, that state, that's pretty tiring. That's kind of exhausting because anger is a very energizing emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, then we go into sadness and mourning. And here's where we just are devastated. So we can't think, we can't eat, we can't sleep. Everything makes us cry. Please don't turn on the radio. I can't watch television. Everything about that, whatever I'm seeing reminds me of this person. And I'm just grief-stricken, you know? And I can't even probably be animated, ever think that anything will ever be happy ever again. Well, sometimes what we see is that men do the anger part better. They don't like to be sad. And women do sadness better. They don't like to be mad. Mm-hmm. You know, not all the time. These are generalities. Mm-hmm. But we have to do both, okay? We can't just do one or the other. So a lot of times we go from sadness, we might go back to bargaining because we get tired of being sad. So we start thinking, there's got to be a way. This really can work. I know it. If I can just think of this, it just takes time. They'll get over this and then they'll come back and they'll see that it really can work. Or we'll say, I don't really need to divorce them. Really, that's kind of drastic. Maybe we just need to do a trial separation. Maybe I just need to legally separate. That's what I'll do. I'll legally separate. We weren't really divorced. We'll just legally separate. And we're like, what am I thinking? Then we might get mad again. I can't believe this person's putting me through this. Who do they think they are? They are ruining my life. I can't take this anymore. That's it. It's over. We're divorcing. I can't stand that they're making me divorce. I'm not going to divorce them. They're going to have to divorce me. Right?
Yeah.
Then we go back into sadness. And so we repeat all of these until we're done, until we finally get to acceptance, which means I accept. I don't resist. And acceptance and forgiveness, that's where that area is.
What can friends do to help their friends who might be going through this?
Well, you know, one of the things that's so important is when we see somebody in our life that's going through a hardship, especially if it's a divorce, because we can have so many opinions mm-hmm. about the divorce.
Yeah.
Whoever side we're on, or we're trying to be on both sides, or we're trying to be on neither side, but either way, we're going to have a ton of opinions. And so what I usually tell people is, you're not in the marriage. You really, really don't know.
That's
marriages
true.
Are very mysterious yeah. places. Mm-hmm. And why things work with people or don't work with people, there's so many elements that sometimes they're not even aware of, that your opinion is kind of irrelevant unless it's trying to be supportive. But if you side too much with the person, then in many ways, you're going to be doing some of their process for them. You're going to be trying to do that and working it out for them instead of letting them feel the feelings they feel. Because once you side with them too much and say, yeah, you need to divorce them, that person is the worst. How can you? Of course, you know, I can't believe you're ever with them to begin with. Well, that day they may have been in anger and they were right with you on it. The next day they're sad. Now they're going to feel guilty about all the stuff they talked to you about. Now they're not going to want to be able to talk to you because they're going to think you don't understand, because today they're sad and they don't want to end the marriage. And so it's important that when you enter into people's pain, it isn't ever to fix it. It isn't ever to educate. Okay, you're generally working with intelligent people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really necessarily need a whole bunch of answers. What they're needing is acceptance of them. What they're needing is for you to be constant in your love for them, for you to not have judgment, for you to not be withholding affection or love or support, because maybe they're the offending spouse. And so you're wanting to say, hey, you made your bed, you lie in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would not be God, thankfully, right? And so we need to get over our own selves and our own opinions of what's happening and what we think should be happening. It doesn't mean that we don't be supportive and say, you know what, I can understand to a certain degree how you feel. And I think if I were in your situation, I think I'd feel the same way as you do. I don't understand it completely, but I just want to be there for you. I just want to support you. I just want you to know that however this happens, wherever it lands, however long it takes, I'm not going anywhere. And so even if I disagree with you, my disagreement of you is not bigger than my love for you. And it's important that people hear that, because that helps them work it through, because ultimately it's their problem. They're not standing before God, you know, with you.
Yeah.
I'm not standing before you.
Yeah.
When they're talking about their divorce.
Yeah, God's not going to hold us responsible for them and them for us. So,
right,
yeah.
And so it's important that we don't put them in a position to answer to us.
Mm-hmm.
That God does not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to do that, you know. And so you really want to say, in the grand scheme of things, I really don't know. This is really your life. I just really want to be the best supporter that I can be. Because the more supportive we are of one another, the more we help people not enter into more sin. Because when they're in great pain, our tendency, remember, is to gravitate toward pleasure and resist pain at all costs. So
yeah.
If I'm in tremendous pain over the divorce of a divorce, if I'm the offending person or not, either way, I'm in tremendous pain. It sets me up to be more vulnerable to sin.
Yeah.
So the more that you can love somebody in that time, the more you help them not to be vulnerable to sin.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then we want to be careful that we don't get codependent and get mad at them about their own pain, because it makes us have pain. And we don't like to have pain, so we want you to get over it now.
Yeah, I've been told that about different losses.
Yes, and like, so it's very important that we practice good boundaries so that we're not trying to fix the person so we feel better. Because I tell people all the time, you know, sympathy goes a long way. That is such a strengthening thing to give someone. And I don't mean like pity, okay? That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
But when you sympathize with somebody, because you may not be able to empathize, you may not have gone through a divorce, but you can sympathize over losing something, over mm-hmm. failing. And a divorce is a failure for everybody. Even if I didn't create it completely, it still failed, and I was a part of it. And so that's a tough one to manage. So it's important when we're supporting people that we don't enter into our own codependency.
What about children? How do we deal with children if you're the parent and you're divorcing? I mean, what's good advice for parents to deal with their children over divorce?
Well, number one, that they don't ever speak against the other parent. Because, and I tell this to parents all the time, I don't care how bad that parent is, that child came from that parent. And so every time you speak against that parent, you're speaking against that child. Because they get their self-worth from their parents and their identity from their parents until they're adults. And so when you speak offensive things about their parent, even if it's true, their self-worth, their self-esteem is going to plummet. They're going to take it personally. Intellectually, they're not, cognitively, but in their heart, they will. And so it's very important that you protect children from what is going on in that way, that no matter what you need to do, you be careful your tone of voice, you be careful of the things that you divulge to them, and you be careful how you talk to that other adult, that spouse in front of them. Because self-concept, self-worth, self-esteem comes from how much our parents like one another, not how much they like us.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I didn't think of it
and
that
so
way.
And so you think about when you were a little kid and if you saw your parents laughing together or affectionate or happy together, what this warm feeling it gave you.
That's right.
Because it's a tremendous sense of security. See, it's different than I'm glad when my parent spends quality time with me and makes me feel special, but it only makes me feel special if they love my parent.
Wow, you're right. You know, I didn't think about that.
Even when you divorce, if you still are deferential to the other parent, no matter how egregious or disgusting or over the top that person is, your child will find it out. And if they find it out on their own, their self-esteem and their self-concept will be protected if they find it out on their own rather than finding it out from you. They'll always find it out. And so it's important that you let them find it out the same way that God is very, very protective of knowledge. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
They got knowledge too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it created the mess that we're in right now.
Right.
So when we give children or anybody knowledge sooner than what they're supposed to have, we damage them. This is one of the reasons that God says, I'm giving you the truth to set you free. And that's why he doesn't tell me the whole truth. Because it would not set me free.
That's right.
It would put me in tremendous bondage if I knew the truth about everything and about myself. And so God is very careful about when he tells me the truth so that it actually does set me free. So when we have children under the age of 18, we do not tell them all the facts. That damages them tremendously. They are not ready to hear it. They have no place to put that information. They don't know what to do with it. And all they will do is take it personally.
Do you recommend them getting counseling, the children getting
always,
counseling?
Always. I think it always can be helpful. If they have a good relationship with both of the parents and both of the parents are treating each other decently and they have other people they can talk to, then it's better that they don't necessarily get counseling because as soon as you go get counseling, you know, it's because you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they already know their family has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it helps is if they can manage it with the people that are in their life. They have youth groups, right? If they have Bible studies, then many times they get the support that they need. If it becomes complicated and the parents are very, very contentious, then I think it's very important that they get some help outside.
Wow. Well, I sure hope this has been helpful to the listening audience because I think it's a good topic that we talk about. I want to always thank Cynthia for joining us on the Amber
thank
May
you.
Show. I just love you to death, and I love your wisdom and your insight, so thank you so much for being a part of the show. Well, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.